Our gospel lesson is taken from the third chapter of the gospel according to St. Luke, verses 21 and 22, as we continue in our Sunday morning series in the gospel according to St. Luke, and where, under the inspiration of God's life-giving spirit, Luke wrote these amazing life-giving, life-transforming words. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Come again, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people. And as we look into the words that you inspired, we pray that you would kindle in us the fire of your love. More and more, we pray that you would direct and rule our hearts in all things, and empower us as your church for witness and ministry. And today, increase in us your gifts and fruit as we rest in Jesus our Savior, and as you make known to us once again our Father's love. Through Christ we pray, amen. Well, as we saw last week, John the Baptist was at the Jordan River, that very special river in Israel's history, preaching the good news, calling the people of Israel to repent of their sins, and baptizing them as a sign of that repentance. Today, we consider the fact that Jesus was among those who came to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Let's consider what Luke had to say about the baptism of Jesus and what it teaches us about Jesus, God's beloved Son, under two headings this morning. First, Jesus' identity as the Son of God. And second, Jesus' identification with sinners. First, Jesus' identity as the Son of God. The baptism of Jesus was a very visual thing, wasn't it? The waters of the Jordan pouring over the head of our Savior. It was something Jesus felt as the waters flowed down his head. And it was something that he heard. Not just the waters flowing over him, not just the sound of John's preaching and the voices of the crowd. It was another voice that stood out above all others that day. A voice that came from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son." This voice was reaffirming what had been said about Jesus earlier in Luke's gospel in chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary and informed her that she would give birth to a son and that he would be called Son of the Most High, Holy, the Son of God. Now, 30 years later, God himself says this to his Son, from heaven for all to hear. And this put the baptism of Jesus in the right context. Jesus was not another Israelite coming to John to be baptized, not merely another Israelite. He certainly was an Israelite. He was of Israel, but he wasn't just another Israelite coming to John to be baptized. He was God's beloved Son, his eternal Son, his holy Son. And that holiness raises the question, if this is God's Son in the flesh, His holy Son, His sinless Son, why was He there at all? Why had He come to the Jordan River to undergo a baptism not for righteous people, but for sinners? Why would Jesus submit Himself to John's baptism of repentance? And that takes us to our second point, which is a little longer than the first, so don't get too excited. Jesus' baptism teaches us not only about His identity as the Son of God, it also teaches us about His identification with us, with sinners, whom He came to save. Luke put it in an understated way, didn't he, when he said, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized. Luke lumped Jesus in with all the people who were baptized that day to show that Jesus was identifying with those who identified themselves as sinners. This was a common theme in the life of Jesus, as we've seen in Luke's gospel. He was circumcised on the eighth day of his life, not because he needed the inward reality that the outward sign of circumcision signified, the change of heart, the repentance of heart and life. He was presented at the temple on the 40th day of his life. Not because he needed the offerings that were made that day in conjunction with his presentation there. Jesus was circumcised and presented and baptized to identify with sinners, those who need their heart changed, their sins atoned for, and their consciences cleansed. In Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, John sought to prevent it from happening in the first place and said, I need to be baptized by you, Jesus. Why are you coming to me to be baptized? But Jesus said, let it be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus was baptized to show that He was taking our place, to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf, to live a life of perfect love for God and neighbor on our behalf, to turn us back to God, to repent for us in our stead, as it were. Repentance in that sense, turning us away from sin and alienation from God and turning us back to righteousness and restoration to God the Father. Jesus was showing that He was going to be our sin bearer. Thus, in John's account, John the Baptist says of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is what Jesus was demonstrating when he got down into the waters of the Jordan and was baptized by John with a baptism for sinners. He was God's Lamb who would bear our sin and be slain on our behalf. He is the one whom Isaiah foretold in Isaiah 53 when he said he was numbered with the transgressors, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he's the one about whom St. Paul spoke when he said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. By submitting to John's baptism, Jesus was submitting to His Father's will to be numbered with us and bear our iniquity and the punishment that we deserve in order to atone for all our sins, that we might have forgiveness of all our sins and be restored everlastingly to God our Father. And after he was baptized, he was praying. Luke, really, in his gospel, highlights the prayer life of Jesus. We'll see that again and again. But after he was baptized, he was praying, and the prayer life of Jesus testified to the genuineness of his humanity. As our representative in our flesh, the man, Christ Jesus, prayed. He poured out his heart to the Father. He was consecrated to the Father in prayer. He depended on the Father through prayer, and he relied on the Holy Spirit, whom Isaiah foretold, as in our Old Testament reading this morning, would descend upon him and empower him to fulfill all the ministries and the work of redemption that the Father had entrusted to him. And signifying that while he was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And that testified to the fact that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah. Messiah, the Hebrew word for anointed one. He was the long-promised Christ, the Greek word for anointed one. Anointed by the Spirit. Set apart by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit to deliver us from our sins. Doves represent purity and gentleness and graciousness. Jesus is all of those things, and in his humanity, he relied on the Spirit to be those things. But perhaps there is something else going on here as the Holy Spirit descended upon and rested upon Jesus in the form of a dove. Remember, at creation, when God spoke the world into being and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was what? Hovering over the face of the waters. That word hovering is typically used to describe the movement of a bird, the fluttering of its wings. So perhaps here the Holy Spirit hovered over Jesus in the form of a dove at the waters of the Jordan to signify that a new creation was dawning. Through the Son who spoke all things into being, and by the Spirit who ordered and beautified all things at creation, God was beginning to restore all things, make all things new. Through Jesus, God was going to restore this sin-marred, war-torn, death-reeking world. In Jesus, God was going to make all things new, defeat Satan, and save sinners who trust in Jesus. The heavens were opened indeed. The way of returning to God had come. God was pleased with his beloved Son for countless reasons. But here specifically because of Jesus' willingness to identify with you and with me so that we might become God's adopted children in Jesus. Where this baptism took place is also important. It was in the Jordan, where many years before God parted the waters. And the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant through the Jordan on dry ground, leading the people out of the wilderness and into the promised land. But remember, the people had to stay something like a half a mile away from the Ark of the Covenant. The priests had to carry it on poles. They couldn't even touch it. Because the Ark represented God in His holiness. So if they touched it, they would die. But now, in that same river, stood not a wooden box overlaid with gold that was a temporary representation of God, but rather God Himself in our flesh, approachable now, relatable now, saying to us, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This Jesus, from whom sinners no longer have to stand far off, as we sang in our hymn, He has brought us nigh, that is, near to God. This God now in the flesh, who takes up babies in His arms and blesses them, says, "Don't you keep them from me, you bring them to me." And He touched lepers, and they did not die. They were healed and given life. When John, the beloved disciple, rested his head on the bosom of God in the flesh at the Last Supper, John did not die. He found rest. Do you see what is going on here? God in Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. He is near, and we come to Him, and He embraces us, and we do not die. Rather, we live. We are healed. We are saved and brought into God's family forever. Through faith in Jesus, we hear the Father say to us, "You are loved. You who trust in my Son." And there are, again, two responses. You see this time and time again in Scripture. Two responses to Jesus: receive Him by faith or reject Him in pride. To those who receive Him, God gives the right to become children of God. And so when God looks at you, dear Christian, He says, "You are accepted in the Beloved. You now are my beloved child, loved with the same love with which I love my eternal Son, with whom I am well pleased. In Him, I am well pleased with you. I delight in you." This is the gospel, that Jesus, God's Son, in our flesh, was baptized ultimately in the fire of God's judgment, so that you and I may be baptized only in the waters of His love. He took the condemnation. He drank the cup of wrath that we deserve, that we might only drink the cup of God's redeeming love. So bask in His love today, child of God. Let your Father's love wash over you as you rest in the grace of His beloved Son. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.